Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. We are so glad you're here today. We're going to be talking today about vision and checking your vision. How good do you see? And so in that, we can't do that without thinking about our eyes, right? And so with me today is Jana Magruder. Hey, Jana.
Hello.
Let's talk about eyes and eyesight. I have had terrible eyesight my whole life.
Yes.
Tell me about your eyesight.
I really don't like this topic because my eyesight is starting to fail me, which we all know that that has to do with aging.
So, but have you had generally good eyes most of your life?
Yes, I have. What do you call it? Astigmatism.
Astigmatism. Yeah.
I do have one of those.
That's where your eye is shaped like a football, kind of like
is
a cone shape.
Is?
Yes.
I don't know.
Because your
really
eye, the Garden of Eden eye, which didn't need any correction, right? Would have been before the fall, the eye would have been perfectly round.
Okay.
And in that, the optics work really well. But I don't know. I'm saying it's as a result of sin. It has to be that with astigmatism, whenever that was introduced,
Yes. Maybe
Paul had it, right? Because he talks about his afflictions and his eyesight seems to be one of them.
Maybe.
So I'm relating to that with him.
Okay.
The astigmatism is when your eye is shaped more like a football, like it's pointy or cone shaped.
Okay.
And to the degree that it is more cone shaped or pointy, the worse it is for your vision.
Okay.
So there's degrees.
Right. Well, I guess I have been in denial because I do have glasses that I'm supposed to wear while driving at night.
Okay.
And, you know, watching movies.
That's like super mild.
And things like that. And so I've gotten by for, you know, 10 years with just kind of having them around if necessary. Like I don't have to pass a driver's license test with them or anything like
right.
that. However, that is changing quickly. Mm. And I'm finding that I need them more and more. I don't have readers. That's not my problem.
Do you wear contacts?
No.
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 Okay.
I don't. It's a distance thing.
Huh.
So as of yet, I don't have readers, but the distance thing is getting blurrier and blurrier every day.
You hold things like a little farther away or a little closer.
Well, I just can't see. Like, I can't read that sign over there.
I can read that.
Yeah.
It says Lifeway Podcast.
Okay. So there you go. I can't read it.
Like at all? It's like super blurry?
It's just blurry. Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
Which really ties nicely into our topic.
It kind of does. So for me, I got my first pair of glasses when I was in third grade.
Aww.
I was having like headaches and all kinds of things. And so I wound up getting glasses really young and had them my whole life. And I have severe astigmatism and really poor like nearsightedness. So I had like this super thick glasses, like the Coke bottle type glasses. Which is not a cool thing.
No.
So like all of my pictures, like through grade school and everything are like, what were the glasses that era? You know, it's like some of them had like the tint, the tinted lenses and,
did you have like red frames?
Different
or blue
shapes.
Frames?
I never had red frames. I did have red lenses one year.
Oh.
They were terrible.
Well, that's
I would not recommend it. You know, like they were like dark on top and then they go clear on the bottom of the lens. They were
like
aviator shapes. This was more like 6th or 7th grade. I don't know. They weren't cool. There was nothing. They weren't cool. I promise you that. So anyhow, yeah. And then when I got into high school, I got contact lenses and that was transformational.
Did you ever do the colored ones?
No.
Okay. My friends who had contacts that would like get to change their
like
eye
to change
color.
Their
I thought
eye
that was
color?
So cool.
That's creepy.
No.
Because when you're looking at somebody, you kind of get to know what their eyes should look like. And just if somebody's eye colors change on me, I'd be like, well, there's something different, but I couldn't place what it was, right? That would be weird. Or unless it's like the Michael Jackson contacts where it's like the Thriller, you know, like the Thriller eyes.
Which looks like a zombie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Never had those either. No.
Good.
So, but like I played basketball in high school. And so I started as a freshman with my glasses with a strap on the back, you know, and you get hit in the face and you break your glasses. And I remember throwing them off to the side and then squinting and playing. Fortunately, the basketball is big, you know, you can kind of make your way if your eyesight is kind of like yours looking at the sign over there. But contacts were way better. So that was a huge thing.
And you've had a couple of surgeries.
And then, like a couple of years ago, I actually had an eye surgery that was a corrective thing to reshape my astigmatism because it was not good. And they put in intacs. So that's where they put like this thing that reshapes your eye inside your eye. And it was, I won't talk about it because it was kind of really gross.
Yeah, it's cringy to think about.
It wasn't a laser
eye.
Surgery. This was like an actual
I remember.
Yeah. An actual surgery that was like with stitches and stuff on your eyes. Weird.
And listeners, what you need to know is.
Yeah. And I'm still wearing
Chuck
glasses right now.
Never really told anyone that he had that big of a vision problem. And he's often our driver when we go to conferences and, you know, no glasses,
no accidents.
Yeah. And then he tells us he has this major surgery and walks in and I can see. Does that mean you could not see before?
Yeah. Let's move on from that. Yeah. So as we talk about vision,
yes,
there's something to that it makes a difference when the person in the driver's seat doesn't see clearly.
Yes, it does.
Right?
Turns out, yes.
When it's just you and you're driving yourself around, you're like, maybe I'll wear these or maybe I mm-hmm. won't, but it's just you. Mm-hmm. But when you're the leader, when you're the driver, everybody else that's in the car or on the bus or whatever your analogy is for that vehicle, if you're the pilot, everybody else on the plane is trusting on the vision of the leader. Mm-hmm. And that transitions really well to what we're going to talk about today.
I like it. Yep. Good transition. And I'm excited today because it's just going to be the two of us. We're not going to have a guest. So, and listeners, what I'm going to get to do today, which I've been asking Chuck if I could do, is to actually interview him on some of this vision topic because he is an excellent leader. He's my leader and he's the Lifeway Kids leader and now Lifeway Next Gen leader. And I want to be sure and transfer some of that knowledge to you as listeners. Often he is our host and you do a phenomenal job as the host.
Well, thank you.
And you're able to also chime in and things like that. But I really want to highlight your knowledge about this particular topic because this is where you really shine. Hmm. And so I have opened my laptop to a fairly new presentation that you've developed, a conference session, a PowerPoint. Chuck is known for his multi-slide PowerPoints. I'm talking 100 plus.
I love slides.
He loves slides. He loves the visuals.
Yes.
But the good news is that you also like to talk. So listeners, you don't have to have the visuals. He's going to talk us through this. But this particular presentation is all about vision. And it's in three parts. Mm-hmm. So checking your vision is part one. We're going to talk about that today. That leads into
crafting
your vision. Very important. You're going to walk us through that. And then we're going to devote part two. So tune in next week for the last part, which is actually casting your vision. Yeah. And so we'll unpack that as well. So I'm excited. Are you ready to get started?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah. So this first part of this, Jana and listeners, is we as leaders need to, so my whole life with my bad vision, the most stressful day of the year, and I kid you not, absolutely the most stressful day of the year every year for me was the day I had to go into the eye doctor for a vision test. Aww. Because I was always afraid that he was going to say, we can't correct your vision anymore, or you can't drive, or you can't play baseball, or you, whatever that would be. I was afraid of looking in that machine where you're supposed to hit the button when the little peripheral mm-hmm. vision things go off and not be able to know what they were. It was so stressful. And so I would tend to put that off and just not want to check my vision. I can live with blurry. It's better than the stress of going through the check. But the truth is we have to have our eyesight tested so we can see clearly. And as leaders, we need to have a similar process for checking the vision that we lead with. Because for many of us, as I interact with people, and you do too, and we talk with ministry leaders all over the country, there are many people who are ministering without focus. Mm-hmm. We have so many things going on that there's no one thing that is clear.
Right.
And others are focused on things that may not be the right things to focus on. Mm-hmm. And so we need to do a checkup.
Yeah.
So we have, there are some problems, right, that we run into when we don't check our vision. Nearsightedness is one. And so as a leader, if you're nearsighted, you're only seeing what's happening right in front of you at that moment in time.
That is so relatable.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that happen in ministry that constantly take your focus. And you really don't have time to pause and sometimes even think about it because things have to be done right away. Sunday is always coming. Mm-hmm. Those shifts and those slots always have to be filled. And so,
And then what can happen is we can become reactive, right? We're not proactive.
Right.
We're not leading because we know where we're going. we're responding to what's right in our face at the moment. Mm-hmm. And what that leads to is we don't know where we're going, right? We're just kind of wandering and moving with wherever the wind blows us. Yep. And that's dangerous.
Right.
The next part, next thing we can get is tunnel vision.
Okay.
Tunnel vision is when you can only see you can see farther, but only what's directly in front of you.
Yeah.
So if you think about the peripheral, that was one of my fears, right? Is that you can't see what's happening beside you either way. You can only see straight ahead, and it's in this really narrow way of seeing. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we can miss other opportunities that are around us, people around us, and opportunities. So we want to be careful that when you play football, those of you who are football players, I'm sure there's a ton of you who are now children's ministers. But as football players, a lot of us are football fans. They tell you keep your head on a swivel, right? When you're a player. Why? Because if you're only looking straight ahead, you've got a helmet on that you can't see your periphery that well. You could get blindsided by something if you're not turning your head to see what's going on around you. The same is true for leading in ministry.
Absolutely. That's such a great analogy. And I even think about the temptation to only focus on your ministry and not being able to zoom out and realize that there are the bigger picture is there are multiple ministries going on at your church.
Yeah.
And to have that big picture view, not just tunnel vision of your ministry,
right,
is so important.
None of what we do is in isolation.
Yeah.
It's all connected, and it has to be. And so to be connected with the rest of our church and with what's happening in that, we have to open our eyes. We've got to turn our head. We need to see more than just our own. I've also heard it called navel gazing. Have you heard that? Like, it's just like where my head is down and I'm looking at my own belly button and that's all I can see, right? That's not a very good way to operate.
No.
But we can fall into that way of thinking as leaders. We continue to do what we've always done because it's comfortable, and we never stop to lift our head and look around. I think Ferris Bueller said something about that.
Didn't you miss it? Yes.
Yeah. If we don't, life comes at you pretty fast, but you can miss it if you don't stop and look around.
Right.
Right. And so that's part of what we're talking about is checking our vision is about that discipline of saying, okay, let's stop. Let's step out of the urgency of the moment. Let's step back from what's right in front of us and let's try to get that bigger picture to say, okay, take a breath, stand back. What are we really trying to do here? And are we accomplishing that? And is it the right thing? Yeah. And so in all of that, it affects everything that we do as leaders.
And that takes such great intentionality. Like you have to build that into your calendar. You have to be purposeful about, you know, taking those breaks to pause. You know, every now and then our team will do a short retreat, even if that means taking a day.
Yeah. Even a half a day sometimes can help you accomplish that. Yeah.
Can be huge. And just a time to be able to zoom out and see, you know, what's going on around us.
But it does not happen as part of your ordinance. It's not going to happen automatically or accidentally.
Has to be intentional.
Yep.
So three common problems, nearsightedness, tunnel vision. What's the last one?
And the last one is a lack of focus.
Okay.
Just that general blurriness that I don't know where to focus. Mm-hmm. And for many of us, I mean, honestly, are the leaders who listen to this podcast are busy, busy people.
Yes, they are.
They have 1,000 plates spinning. There's demands from left and right, parents, volunteers, church staff, leaders. There's just holidays are coming as we record this episode. Easter is upon us.
Yep.
Probably it will be over by the time people listen, but guys, you just came through Easter. You know what it's like to have extra services and need more volunteers. There's urgency, urgency, urgency. And in all of that, we can find ourselves on our heels, without that clear focus. We can get stuck in a pattern that's not a healthy pattern for us or for the people we lead.
Think of the word malaise.
Malaise.
Yes.
Is that what you spread in a sandwich?
No, that's something else.
It's like a BLT with malaise.
But especially post-COVID, I feel like the lack of focus of just surviving and just a little bit in a malaise.
Yeah.
That lack of focus.
So I've got three things that kind of play to your malaise or to unpack your malaise, right?
Please
maybe help three
me.
Ingredients. So when you don't have that focus, when you're nearsighted, when you're functioning with tunnel vision, there are some negative outcomes in how your life feels and how your ministry feels. And so you can feel ineffective, right? Because how many of us are like, I know I'm doing the job. I just don't know if it's making a difference. I'm showing up every week, but I'm exhausted. That's the other thing, right? So we can feel ineffective, exhausted, and discouraged.
Yes.
And so when we don't know for sure that we're doing the right things, it can feel like being on a treadmill. I've felt this way,
yeah,
where you're running as fast as you can and you feel like the incline is constantly cranked higher, higher, higher because you're running harder, 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 but you're not getting anywhere. And so we can get stuck in that kind of treadmill effect. And the result is we're tired. We question what we're really doing and if it's worth it. Yeah. And sometimes we can be ready to just give up and walk away.
Yeah, it leads to burnout, which yeah. is a common thing that happens in ministry, especially.
Yeah.
That's definitely, you know, worth checking your vision to make sure that you're not headed towards that.
So we want to talk today a little yeah. bit about why it's so important to check your vision and then give you a little bit of an eye test to get started. Okay. So first of all, the Bible has a lot to say about vision. So Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's one that every vision sermon you've ever heard mm-hmm. or leadership sermon from a Christian talks about that. But I also think of Matthew 15, where Jesus talks about the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he says they're blind guides, blind leaders of the blind. He says, and if the blind guide the blind, both will fall into a pit. And so I don't know that if you don't have clear vision in your ministry, that you're going to perish or the people around you will, mm-hmm. but I do know that you're going to have headaches, yeah. right? When your vision isn't clear, you're going to get a headache, and we don't need to have that. So we need to check our vision.
So how do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, you need an eye chart, which you will have to figure out if this functions as an eye chart. My hope is that maybe this will. Something of an eye chart, right? So I think when it comes to vision, let's clarify what that means. So vision is really your purpose. It's your goal, your mission, your reason. So in a lot of places, that looks like having a mission statement or a vision statement that you can point to. That's something that's important to us here at Lifeway. We lead with a vision and a mission that we can all reference and refer to yeah. to know if we're on track with everything else we do. So whether yours culminates in a literal mission statement, I would hope that it will. Mm-hmm. So many of us don't have that at all. Or some of us have one that somebody else wrote a long time ago. Yeah. And so if you think about it like glasses, if you're wearing an old prescription,
I think I probably am, by the way.
It's time for a new one, yeah. right? Or what if instead, Jenna, I give you my glasses right. and you're wearing somebody else's prescription? That's not going to work. If you've ever put on somebody else's glasses, it never works.
It never works.
It's always weird and funky, right? So we need to check that. And so the way that I kind of clarify what do we call that purpose, goal, mission, reason, is it's your why. Mm-hmm. That's your why. And so in my experience, any leader out there can tell us the who, when, what, and how. They know where ministry's happening. They know who's doing it, unless somebody calls in on Saturday night and cancels, mm-hmm. which may be you. But we know when ministry happens and where it happens. We know what lesson we're facilitating. But when it really comes down to it, there are very few people who can articulate a clear and compelling why. Why are we doing what we're doing? And that's the key.
Mm-hmm. And what's the best way? Let's say I'm a ministry leader and I definitely know the who, what, when, and where, but I really want to, again, zoom out and come up with the why. What's the best place to start? How do I do that?
Yeah, well, so one of the best places to start is to think about your values. It's about values clarification. So when we get to talking about crafting a vision, we'll talk a bit more about some of those. This may turn into a three-part series instead of a two-part.
And that's okay.
As we get going here. But
I told y'all, Chuck has a lot of slides and work.
We got plenty of both. But I think we should start by talking about, like, what are some of the benefits? Mm-hmm. You know, if you might be easily convinced, like, yep, I get it. I need a why. Mm-hmm. I need to know my why. But if not, it's good to know that there are some really valuable things that come out of knowing your why. So let's maybe start there and hit some benefits, and we'll get into crafting. I do think it comes down to values, to answer your question. You need to know clearly what things matter to you, and that's in several areas. We'll get to that a little bit later. But let's talk about some benefits.
Okay.
So one of the first benefits of knowing your why is your why helps you determine your direction and stay on course. And so what I mean by that is your why is your compass. So, right, when you're in my car, I've got the little thing in my mirror that says if I'm going north, south, east, or west, it means nothing to me because it doesn't matter.
That means nothing to me.
Yeah,
I thought it would to you.
No, because who drives that way?
Okay.
Nobody does.
I feel like guys are like, you head south on this road and then east on the other.
Yeah, see, I'm more of a...
girls are like, I need a right or left.
Okay, at the what, right? Yeah, at the what? I need to turn left where the old Miller barn used to be. You know, it's like that kind of thing.
Yes.
Turn right at the Chick-fil-A and left at the giant tractor tire. That I need visual references
exactly.
Like that. So the idea of a compass, we all know what that means, right? It helps us determine our direction and know which way we're going. We don't really use a compass these days, but we do use a GPS.
That's right.
So your why is very much like a GPS. And so in that, if you think about it, what does that GPS do? It tells you how to get somewhere. I've had places where I've gone where I have no idea how to get there if it wasn't for just following the GPS.
Yeah.
Right. We'll fly into a city to do a training. I was just in Seattle, Washington and Bellevue area for a ministry conference out there. We got in a rental car at the airport and followed the GPS to get to the, I couldn't get there again without the GPS, but it tells you how to get there.
Yeah.
Turn left, turn right, right? 500 feet, get off this exit.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
You know where Cool Springs is. Listeners, you, if you're in the Middle Tennessee area, you might know where Cool Springs is, but it's one of those big complexes of multiple shops and retail and grocery stores and office complexes. I've lived in Nashville for 11 years, and every time I go to Cool Springs, I still turn on the GPS.
See, that's crazy. I mean, but it helps illustrate my point.
I'm so grateful for it. That's why I'm helping you out here.
GPS is so great, though, isn't it? How did we do it without it before? Like with paper maps and the triptych or whatever, the flippy things,
MapQuest.
Yeah, all that stuff. GPS is so much better.
So much better.
Wait, but so it tells you how to get somewhere, but what it doesn't tell you is where you want to go. And so what the why is it's your destination. So we need to know what is the end game. Where are we trying to go? And so in that, as we think about that from a kids ministry standpoint, I go to that old book. It's an old book now, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Stephen Covey,
written years ago.
Yeah.
And there's a couple really good habits that are in there that just stick out to me. But one of the big ones is begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
Begin with the end in mind. And the way that he talks about that is he says, think about your funeral and think about who you want to be in the room and what you want them to say about you. Now live a life that causes them to be there and say those things. Right? Okay, wow, that's the ultimate begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
So with our kids ministry, we need to start by thinking about not what do we want kids to look like by Friday, right? There's that book, Have a Better Kid by Friday or whatever is.
I think I read that.
That is not how kids ministry should be. No, because it doesn't.
Right.
And that's not the goal. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, the point of children's ministry is not to train up good children. That's not the goal. If you think about Proverbs 22:6, it's a verse we always quote, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, and by next Friday, he'll be a much better behaved kid, right? No, that's not the promise. So first of all, Proverbs are principles, not promises, right? We need to live in that tension. However, even the principle there is it's when he's old that the payoff comes. So the goal of children's ministry isn't to make kids better kids. It's to train up kids to be godly adults.
But boy, do we get that out of whack sometimes.
We can. That's where we got to check our vision.
Yeah.
Right? If what we're looking to do is to make kids that are happier or that are friendlier or that are better behaved or that are more compliant or that we can get off on a tangent that is way wrong for us. But so we need to keep our vision focused on what's the real goal. The real goal is the long game, right? We need to invest in children today so that they grow into, so that they walk with the Lord through all their life, right? So that's one, right? And so we need to know as we get started, what do you want your kids to know? How do you want them to grow before they go? Huh. And so one of the great ways to start with determining the why is a question that you had just asked is, what do you want your kids to look like when they leave your kids' ministry? Mm-hmm. What do you want them to look like when they move into middle school or go on to high school? What do you want them to look like? What do you want them to know about who they are, about who God is, about what it means to walk with the Lord? What do you want them to know about their Bibles, about their church, about you, about their friends, about their families? What is that? And so that's starting with what are those values that are your goals? So that's just one benefit, right? Is beginning with the end in mind, because what that does is it helps us determine our destination and set our direction.
Okay, what's number two?
Okay, number two, having a clear why helps you make easier decisions. It helps you make decisions. So how many times do you struggle with making decisions, like that analysis paralysis?
Oh, 1,000 a day.
You second guess stuff.
Yeah, especially in children's ministry.
Yeah.
So many decisions.
And they come at you and people want to know, what's the answer?
Right.
This. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, how do you know if it's the right decision, especially if you're on the spot?
Yeah.
And so that can be paralyzing, right? Yeah. So when we're under stress, we have that, you know, fight, flight, freeze, or faint response.
Fawn
is another one, a new one added to that list.
Often.
Yeah, that's extra. But a lot of us freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know what to do. And you feel stuck or numb, or you just don't know how to move forward. And a lot of us have been frozen and stuck since COVID.
Absolutely.
Coming out of that, we have been in a place where it's like, I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing, hold it together and survive another week. And we need to make a change. So one of the other big benefits of clarifying your why is your why becomes for you a target and a filter. So it's a target in that it tells you what to aim for, and it's a filter in that it helps you filter out stuff that is off point.
I see you have a colander as a visual.
Colander. Yeah. Yeah.
So is that your filter?
On my filter. Yes. On my PowerPoint that Jan is looking at. If you ever get to see this, you guys know the picture. It's a target like you'd shoot arrows at.
Yeah.
And then there's a colander, and so that's what your why becomes for you. It filters stuff out. It helps you know if you're on point, and you can line things up. So when someone comes to you with an idea, which someone else always comes to you with an idea, what you should do, you need to know, should you or shouldn't you? And so when you know what you're trying to accomplish off in the distance, and this thing is presented to you in the here and now, you can kind of line those up like the sights on a rifle and see if this new thing is over to the side. And when I line it up, I'm not hitting that target, right, for our ministry. Or if it does align with what you're trying to accomplish with your kids, you're like, yes, it's an easy yes. So it helps you answer that question, should we fill in the blank, whatever that is.
And it has to be aligned with your vision, your why, your whatever your values are determined. If it doesn't line up with that, then it's an easy no.
Then it's an easy no.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It could be a hard no, which isn't easy. It can be easy to give a hard no if that's the case. All right. Number three, we need to keep cruising through here. The other thing that having a clear why does for you, Jana, is it helps you recruit and retain the right volunteers.
Woohoo.
Yeah, right? That we all struggle with that. First of all, finding the right ones, and then keeping the good ones, right? And keeping them back. And so when too many of us still recruit out of need and obligation, we need 5 more people in the nursery or we're going to close it down. You have a kid in the ministry, you're going to serve, right? That means you're going to serve. Mm-hmm. And when we have people who serve out of need and obligation, that spells no.
So it's not going to last.
They not going to be a good fit. Yeah. Not going to last. Not going to work. Not the people that we really want.
Right.
Right. And so instead of that, when we know clearly, not just what needs to be done, but why we're doing it, now we can start to recruit people from a place of passion and purpose. Everybody's busy. Nobody in your church wants one more thing to do. Everybody's plate is full, but everyone wants to do something that is meaningful. Everyone wants to belong to something that is purposeful. And so many of us are looking for purpose and value in how we use our time and what we invest our lives in, that when we can present somebody with an opportunity to be a part of something, they'll be excited about that. And so that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal, is we lead with passion and purpose, not with need and obligation. So one thing that we mentioned COVID already, the one thing that we learned from that is that everything around you is contagious. Everybody's contagious. Everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The cup that you just touched, it could be dangerous to me, right? Everything is contagious.
Right.
And so in that, guys, whatever you have is contagious to the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are negative and grumpy and out of sorts, and if you have an Eeyore cloudy kind of demeanor, guess what? The people around you are going to have that too. Yep. If you're a complainer, you're going to attract other complainers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best way that we can recruit is for us to be excited about why we're doing this and what the value is, so that we can communicate that with enthusiasm, because enthusiasm is absolutely contagious.
Right. It transfers to everyone around you.
Yeah. And then it starts to spread, right? And that's the other side of it is you don't just contaminate the one person near you, that they contaminate somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And so when we can do that with passion and purpose for our ministries, with a vision that's compelling and that makes me want to be a part of it, that's contagious too. And you wind up with a much different quality and caliber of people on your team.
And that builds your culture. And then that informs sort of the reputation of your children's ministry. And then people want to be a part of that. It's magnetic.
Yeah. And so I like to say, as you go to recruit people, recruit with the why, lead with the why. Here's why we're doing this. And I like to say, if they buy the why, you won't say goodbye. That's a little Chuckism, right?
Yeah.
Because think about that. If somebody is bought in on why we're doing this, they're not just there to fill an hour's worth of time. They're not just doing you a favor. They're bought in, they're in, and they're going to stay. And so it's so important to do that. The next one is your why helps you define success. It helps you identify what is that target? What is that success? And so, Jana, a few years ago, you wrote a book that is in my presentation. What?
How about that?
So Nothing Less is a book that you wrote. And I was here when we did that, and our team contributed a little bit to that book. And that was a book that we looked at childhood indicators of spiritual maturity in adults. Mm-hmm. What are things that happened in the lives of people who were now adults when they were children that might be indicators of them staying in the faith as they grow up? And there were a lot of things that we learned that were really good. So listeners, go find the book, Nothing Less. You can find it at lifeway.com/kids. And you scroll down the main page of lifeway.com/kids, you're going to find three books there. One of them is Nothing Less, which is this one. You need to get that. And it really talks about how it takes nothing less. It's an A.W. Tozer quote, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing less than a whole Bible to make a whole Christian. Yeah. And it's really a great book for the importance of biblical
literacy.
You'll
find out what number one is.
Yeah, figure out what that one is. We'll leave you hanging on that. And then there's another book that's It's Worth It, which is about the importance of VBS. Mm-hmm. And our new book that we co-wrote, Flip the Script.
Yes.
Talking about how to reach Gen Z and Gen Alpha. So great books. Yep. Go find them at lifeway.com/kids.
They're all rooted in research.
And they're all the same shape and size.
They're squares.
Yeah, they're perfect. So but one of the things that you talked about, or our Lifeway Research uncovered with us, is we asked parents, what is it that you want for your kids? What's the goal? How do you define success? And do you remember this part of the book?
Oh, yes. Because I relate to it as a parent.
Yeah.
I mean, your first blink is you want your kids to be happy.
And that's what the fill in the blank is, right? Yeah. Okay. And so the question was, we desire to train up our children to be what? Mm-hmm. And so we've got percentages that go with each of these. And so of those, 25% these are church-going families in North America that were surveyed, right? And so these are churchgoers. And the number one thing that they came back with, 1 out of 4 said their biggest goal was for their kids to be happy, which is not a bad thing.
No.
But it's not the main thing, right? 22% said they wanted their kids to be successful. 19% said, I just want my kid to be a good person. 17% said, I want my kid to be educated, well-educated, get a good education. Mm-hmm. What percentage, and I know you know, but I'm going to ask you anyway, like you don't know in case, don't look if you haven't seen. What percentage, listeners, what percentage of parents would you say their primary goal for their kid was for their kid to be godly? Higher or lower?
Well, the trajectory we're going on is...
is downward.
It's going to be lower.
We're
setting
you up.
Which is sad.
9%. Mm-hmm. So less than 1 out of 10 said our number one goal for our kids is for them to be godly. Mm-hmm. Guys, we have to get that order right.
Yeah.
So as leaders, we know that it's not bad for a kid to be happy, successful, good, or educated. But if they're those things and they're not godly, we've missed the mark. And if they're a godly kid, these other things fall into the right order. And so we have to get these in the right sequence. And so we need to know for our ministries, as we seek to engage kids and we talk about beginning with the end in mind, and we start to define what we want a kid to look like when they leave our ministry, the goals should not be happiness, success, goodness, education, fame, popularity, wealth,
good athlete,
health, a great athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well-respected, really liked. Mm-hmm. Those are not the goal.
Right.
So we need to not lose sight as we lead our ministries that the chief goal of a child's life has to be his redemption. The chief goal is his relationship with God and that connection. Our chief goal, so therefore, for our chief goal as ministry leaders, has to be for our kids to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
And I love how simple that is, that you can continue to point back to and say, have we drifted from this? You
Where's
keep that in front
target?
Of your volunteers, yeah. in front of your parents, in front of your co-leaders,
yeah.
other staff members, that in our kids' ministry, it is going to be our chief goal for kids to know Jesus.
Boom, clarity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Now we can start to assess, if that's what we identify as our goal, mm-hmm. now we can start to assess, is this opportunity we have to add some programming mm-hmm. or to add to our building or to do something different, to change our curriculum, whatever that is it on point to deliver on that goal? And that becomes the goal for everything, mm-hmm. right? That's compelling. That will get you up in the morning on a hard day, right? On the rainy days, that will keep you going. But we have to be super clear in what that is. The last one for this episode is number five. Benefit number five is your why helps you pursue and promise a payoff. So what this
what
is—
What do you mean by that?
Well, every person who walks into your church has an expectation that they're normally not voicing.
Yeah.
So they expect that your church is going to do this, that, or the other. They're mm-hmm. going to, that it's going to be fun, that their kid's going to learn a Bible verse, or that mm-hmm. they're going to sing a song. Everybody has expectations for what that is. And so we need to be the ones who set clear expectations for them about, when you come here, what will you see, and what will your child experience, and what will be the outcome? So I always, one of my favorite little analogies that I like to share is the hamburger one. Mm-hmm. So like, I'll be watching TV with my son Tate. We're watching a football game, let's say, and this commercial comes on. And it's like, I don't know, Burger King or something, which, you know, is, I'm sorry, BK people. It's like a trash hamburger. It's trash. Yeah, it's trash.
It's not good.
But you look at it on TV and it's beautiful.
I know. It never looks like
it's
that.
It's so like yeah. stacked tall and
juicy,
it's thick, and the tomato.
Lettuce is fresh.
Yeah. And there's like those little glimmers of water, like mm-hmm. the beads of moisture off the edge of the tomato. The sauce is dripping just the perfect amount. Maybe it's a mm-hmm. Carl's Jr. commercial on the West Coast. It's just perfect, right? And you want to pick it up mm-hmm. and you just want to go get that thing. And mm-hmm. everything is perfect about it. It's photo perfect. And then you get there and I walk in and I'm like, give me that one. And you point at the picture. It's right there. It looks just like it did on the commercial, yeah. on the poster.
False give advertising. Me that one.
And then they hand you this little wrap thing wrapped up in a piece of white paper that's kind of mushy. That's been sitting under a heat lamp for a while. And you open it up and it's flat and the lettuce is wilted.
The tomatoes are pale.
It's pasty. There's nothing appetizing. Now, it's still two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. It's still there.
Yeah.
But it's disappointing.
Yeah.
Right. And so if people are walking in with one expectation and we're delivering anything different, they're going to be disappointed or dissatisfied. So our job needs to be to show the picture that we actually deliver on, not mm-hmm. to say show a bad picture, right?
it's going to
say,
be bad to show
deliver
a bad
the
picture.
Good burger no. is what the ask would be.
Yes.
So in that, it's up to us as leaders to set the right expectation, knowing that people will bring their own when we come in. And so this comes back to those values things. It's like, okay, how do we distinguish our church from the one down the street, right? Because if you have a family who's visiting multiple churches, they're new to town, trying to figure out where they're going to attend, what is distinct and unique about your church? Mm-hmm. And again, very few people can articulate that. Your why gives you the go-to, this is how we're different. And that might be something like, we value sound biblical teaching, relational discipleship, and parent partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom.
Good values that can point to the why.
That's your lettuce, tomato, and your glistening onion, right? That's the drippy sauce that draws them in. It might be things like, when your child attends here, they're going to find a place to belong. They're going to discover their identity in Christ. They're going to worship. They're going to study. They're going to learn. They're going to grow, right? Those are, once we know what is our why, we extract from that these sorts of value statements that we can then use. And the most important thing about having your why is that it not become a mission statement that's in a frame on a wall that's forgotten, mm-hmm. but that it becomes a tool that you use every week, every day. Mm-hmm. You're going to check every decision to see if it lines up. And when it does, your life is way better and your ministry is way more focused.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing how to check your vision. This is part one of, I think, what we're going to call a part three.
There you go. Probably.
I mean, a three-part series. So this was all about checking your vision so that we can begin casting a vision, which is what's next. And I'm really excited to hear from you on that. So listeners, tune in for part two of this vision series by Chuck Peters, who is a great leader and has a lot to say about this. So come back and we'll finish up with...
Wipe off your glasses, everybody. We'll come back
wipe
next time
to
keep those lenses clean.
That's right. Get your eyes checked.
So this week, think about how you can, the importance of determining your direction, making better decisions, recruiting and retaining volunteers, the right ones, defining success, and pursuing that promise and the payoff. Having that clear statement will help you do that every time. And so we're excited to keep talking. Sounds good. Thanks, Jana, for leaving me. And thank you, listeners, for listening. We'll see you back again next time for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.